The funny thing is, we got so much feedback on the next.
Let me call to order the Police Judicial and Legal Committee meeting for this Monday, May the 1st. It's good to see everybody here in this meeting too, as I did in the last. I want to thank, since this is PJ and Al, thank our police for the job over the weekend. Both at the blessing, and I know y'all were on the scene of the shrimp boat fire, so thank y'all very much. Item number two is approval of the minutes from April 3rd.
Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All right, the minutes are approved. Before we get to public comments, Councilman Richard, you have a quick announcement.
Yes, sir. I'd like to provide an update on the Officer Bonnie Edward Key Memorial. I'm happy to announce we'll be prepared to actually unveil that on May the 15th. So in a couple of weeks, we're going to have the unveiling, and I'm working with staff now to have that happen at 10 o'clock at our waterfront park. This utility report is in the watch with December 13, 1985. So 38 years has gone by since we've given him a proper memorial. And I'm excited to hopefully get the family here and unveil that on that morning. And then I was also happy to hear our transportation committee that his parkway named after him will be done in October as well. So the recognition he deserves for the sacrifice he's made is coming finally. So I'll make that announcement.
Thank you. Appreciate that very much. Item three is public comments. If you're here to make a public comment, please come forward, give name and address. 2.5 minutes. Anybody for public comment? Going once? Twice? All right. That moves us on to item number four, police matters, employee years of service recognition. Chief Arnold.
Good morning, Mayor and committee members. This morning, we're going to have the opportunity to recognize Jonathan Floyd for 5 years of service. Jonathan started in May of 2018 as a police officer and served with distinction in our field operations. During the protest downtown, he was injured, and it was a significant injury, and through a lengthy rehabilitation, ended up determining that he wasn't going to be able to return to full duty as a police officer. Very fortunately for us, he wanted to continue to work with the town, with the police department, and he's chosen to take a position in our records department, which is fantastic because he brings a lot of knowledge and experience into that unit, and has been just tremendous the entire time that he was trying to rehab and get back. He was working in there, and just his mid seamless transition. And I want to thank you for your dedication both as a police officer and your continued dedication to the police department. And thank you for 5 years of service.
What's better about?
We want to thank you too on behalf of the committee and council in the town. Thank you very much. Item five, judicial matters. There are no judicial matters. I see Lori sitting back there. I will add on that it was this week. Swore in our new judge. Our new municipal judge, Kelly Young. So glad to have a full complement of judges there. This committee did a great job. Item six is legal matters, discussion, and possible action on proposed Dominion Energy franchise agreement. Mr. Pagnini.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Mayor and members of the committee. We have a few items today, the first of which is discussion and possible action on a proposed Dominion Energy franchise agreement. I have placed in front of you the ordinance that was passed almost 23 years ago. That was a 20-year agreement with Dominion. Since we are in 2023, it stands to reason that that has expired, but has been essentially rolling over since that time. We have met with Dominion, and Danny is here to answer any questions from their side. What we are proposing, what staff is proposing, and what Dominion is proposing is a 12-year extension of the existing agreement. And if you look at the 2000 ordinance, the attachment is the actual franchise agreement. and a few highlights that I will point out to you. The first is under item section 4J, which is on page 4 of 16. The requirement is that Dominion comply with the Mount Pleasant Code of Ordinances as they exist and as they may be amended or future enactments thereof. I would also point out section 7, which is on page 6 of 16 of the exhibit to the ordinance. And this directly relates to pruning and other work, which I know has been of significant concern to all the people of the town of Mount Pleasant, as well as our council. And that is all work performed within the municipal limits by the company or its contractors shall be in accordance with the Mount Pleasant Code of Ordinances and all other applicable standards, regulations, ordinances, electric and safety codes as they now exist or as they may be enacted or amended. The reason I point this out is, especially at our committee and council level, there have been discussions as far as policies, procedures, and the like. It is legal's opinion, I believe staff's opinion in general, that this provision allows the town of Mount Pleasant to amend its ordinances, in which then Dominion would be subject to those changes. Our tree ordinance starts at 156. 156 of our code. That is our zoning ordinance, and trees start at 156.220. It has all of our requirements in that section. I would also point out that the other applicable standards would include basic ANSI and other national standards that would apply to these situations. The point being that as the policy and the agreement is written, I believe is sufficient for the town of Mount Pleasant to currently, as well as to take future action, should there be any concerns with any of the policies and procedures without having to negotiate a new franchise agreement. We met with representatives of Dominion. We have been speaking with their legal team for some time. I will also point out that we had some questions related to the financial aspects of it. Our CFO attended that meeting, I believe, and she's here to answer any of your questions, I think, but we were satisfied with those as well. So in summary, the proposed new agreement is essentially the same as the old agreement, with the exception of Section 10, which would move forward this agreement for a period of 12 years and then some extensions after that to keep this agreement in place. So that is the general summary. And you will see that if you look at the portion that was sent to you last week, that there is a termination provision, a two-year termination provision as well, that has been written in there. So this is something that all parties, at least at the staff level, are in agreement with. And I am happy to answer any questions.
If the committee of mine, I've got a couple I'd like to do, and then we'll spread it out. The three things that we hear the most from our constituents are tree pruning, underground in the blinds, which I think falls under non-standard, and more recent with the and also as a result of our low impact development standards is electric vehicle charging capabilities, which I may be a little overreach on my part, but I think it's like cell phone coverage in the future. You're going to have it. I had two different sets of people ask me about it at the blessing yesterday. You know, when you look at these maps and whatever, other than for a particular brand, when you look at the apps, it's hard to find a charging station in Mount Pleasant. So, David, if we could sort of maybe let's take some questions on that. Let's start with the tree pruning. I think we all agree there's a better way. So that we're not all in reactive mode. We know it got pretty, was it last year? It was last year, wasn't it? Especially like down Muirhead and all that. We had to run out and all that kind of stuff. What measures can we take to do that better in the future?
Well, firstly, in our code, I think the issue, as it was there, was primarily notice. And I don't want to answer all those without hearing from Dominion on those.
Okay.
And I don't know, Mayor, perhaps that's a question for Dominion.
For our staff and Dominion, how they can work better with us and we can work better mm-hmm. with them. Because I will tell you, when the pruning starts as elected officials, our phones start ringing. We all know that. And we know you've got to do it, but we got to find a middle ground. So would you like to come up to the... So we can talk. Yeah.
Hey. Hey, good morning. Danny Cassis.
Yes.
Dominion, so. Yeah, thank you, Mayor and committee. So I think on the trimming piece, I think I would not describe, and I think Eric would probably agree with me, we don't have a perfected process, but I think the communication piece was a place where it was a learning experience. We're continuing to work through the communication, providing the advance notice. That doesn't solve all ills because aesthetically people don't like some of the results, although it does, right, in the end of the day, provide for the reliability. But I think it is a lot about the communication and making sure that happens in advance.
Right.
Doing it at the end of the year and then in 30 days or 60 days. So that's one piece. I think the other is the help with getting the notice out. So we do a public forum,
right,
in every jurisdiction where we trim. Right. So having more people out in that public forum, I think, is actually gets the word out. So we're historically, we haven't had maybe the attendance that.
Right.
So to the extent that the town can help us with, you know, staging that, locations, time, so people can get to those to ask questions. And then also, a chance to view the maps if there's places to put the maps in public domain,
right,
so people can see where we're going to be.
Okay.
The two biggest things.
Questions, yep, on pruning? Yes, sir.
Yes. Going back to the Muirhead location, there appeared to be a question about the degree of pruning and maybe how that is affected. And the reason I bring that up is that the residents that contacted me were concerned that he didn't really need to be as extreme in the trimming of the trees that were there. And these were not oak trees, but the point is, how do we weigh in with you on the degree of the trimming, and whether it's oak trees or whether it's crepe myrtles, which was in this area, how can we as a town weigh in on that degree? Because the degree of trimming sometimes is the biggest issue, not the fact
trimming.
That we're trimming. Yeah, I think most people understand that when the hurricanes hit, you got to have the separation. But does the separation need to be 10 feet, 20 feet, or 5 feet? That's where I think the biggest issue is. And, you know, we've got our own tree experts, which maybe can help working in advance with your crews where you're going to be, so that we don't get that extreme trimming in some critical areas. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, actually, I like your comments, but I would say that maybe the most important thing is actually right tree in right place.
Yeah.
So that it never creates the conflict. So haven't had the experience with personally with crepe myrtles.
Yeah.
I know how fast they grow. There are a couple of other species that are, they're just incompatible. So they grow so fast. So if we're only out there in a 5-year span, the growth rate in this region is pretty incredible. So what happens is, I think there's what you're right. You hit on the things that we think about, but probably the most important thing is ultimately the health and human safety piece. So if something does happen and it gets in the conductor, and it grows within that 5 years, it's line workers, tree trimmers, and then somebody who just doesn't maybe have the authorization or the expertise, but they go in and they do attempt to do some kind of work without really the expertise, then they get hurt. Unfortunately, that has happened. And it's expensive when you have a fatality. So that's the area of caution. I would say most importantly is right tree in right place, which I think you've got the expertise here to know that. I think I've spanned the life of the franchise agreement. So I did the one that we did 2 decades ago.
Wow.
So I don't think we were as, I think as good as we needed to be at that time about talking about right tree and right place. So part of the way you mitigate that is don't create an additional issue by planting more trees in places where they're going to be under conductor. But the other thing is that over time also, that non-standard service fund becomes, you know, the ability to preserve vegetated corridors because the lines are underground and not overhead, which is part of the agreement. But those two fit together.
When is the scheduled round of tree trimming, of pruning?
So we're on a 5-year cycle.
Right.
So we would have four years.
Okay.
You'd have part of it is you'd have 4 years of
non-growth,
non-standard service fund, but 4 years of growth too. So yeah, the same places that we got to, we're going to get back. I don't know if that covered everything in Mount Pleasant because we do it, you know, we organize it by electric circuits.
Right.
But so it could be before that, but it's generally going to be that same trimming that got done 5 years ago is likely to be done
4 years.
27. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So we've got time to work up a plan to improve our processes. And we know sometimes your contract will do some things that were not necessarily standard or that you would have had them do. There have been times we've had to have a conversation about some of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought one of the things that worked well, and I think this came out of a meeting during that time period, is that it was in especially sensitive areas. There were members of staff and members of the company that were there with the contractor. And although I don't think everybody would agree on every cut, I think they wanted to meet the ANSI standard and get the clearance and create the safety, but at the same time, kind of meet, in the middle ground around that. That was one of the things that I think, especially in the sensitive areas, being both parties being represented, meaning the town and the company with the contractor.
Right.
That's a good practice. Yeah.
The next thing would be the undergrounding, which is part of the non-standard. Yeah. And I think there are two areas that are being studied right now, the Groves and Hopcall.
Old Hopcall.
Right. Yep. Okay. So I guess this is a question for our staff. Everything in this contract is in our citizens' best interest. Granted, it's got to be mutually beneficial, but gives us the opportunities to pursue those non-standard type of activities, right?
Yes, sir. And okay. I think the way, not think, I believe the way it is written, it provides the town the flexibility to change its ordinance for the non-standard. It's not going to interfere with anything that we've done or plan on doing at this point.
Okay. And the third thing would be the coming of age of electric vehicle charging. I know that this is probably highly regulated by people other than municipalities, but what does the future look like for Mount Pleasant for that?
Yeah, so thank you for the softball question. So I read our EV strategy for South Carolina. So actually my EV's in the parking lot.
Great.
So I could not charge you, by the way, but I think we're working on fixing that. So yeah, I think it is. We're doing some significant planning around the system, which is, you know, part of the reason why that agreement's important, because we're going to be putting in, you know, at least at the distribution level, transformer capacity and things that are required, not so much for level 2 charging, but the DC fast charging, which is, you know, which is shorter duration, but getting vehicles, you know, back on the road for the folks that want to charge that way. So that's a piece that we've developed some things. We're actually talking to some folks in Mount Pleasant already in some retail and some what I would describe as multifamily/residential. So they want the level two charging. So we already have that. We have a program in place for that. That's between just participants and the company. And we set that up with level two charging. But we also provide a significant level of what I would call advisory services and coordination on the level three, which is the fast charging. So I think we have on our system now, we have 12 Tesla DC fast charging stations throughout our system. Right. And then we have other Electrify America, EVgo, and others but I think you are 100%. We show a pretty significant adoption rate. It's almost exponential. It's not linear. So every curve that we looked at and done a study on, it is when we redo the analysis and look back at the data, it undershoots it. So we think it's exponential. I think this zip code, or the zip codes that make up Mount Pleasant, are the number one zip codes for EV adoption in South Carolina.
They are?
They are.
Proven. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And we have a zip code. We get the proprietary data to see. Okay. So.
Good to know.
But we got a plan for it. And that's part of it.
We got a plan. We'll have the capacity. Part of it's up to us, I'm sure, as a municipality. Part of it's up to redevelopment of some of our commercial areas where we really want to see the charging stations put in.
Yeah. 100%. It's mutually beneficial.
Right.
So, because I think it helps. It's no longer, I think, people think of it as an amenity. It's a service.
Right.
And then from our perspective, we have to have the capacity. Most of it starts out on the distribution system, but you do have to. I mean, if you don't create the right programs, then it becomes a peaking issue, and you've got to be able to serve that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Sir, sorry.
No, please.
Our involvement, and thanks to Danny and Tammy and others at Dominion, our involvement is going through our transportation, our EDS department, but our involvement from the public side is utilizing our largest areas, publicly owned areas of town. So that includes Town Hall, which we'll roll out first.
What about recreation facility? Yeah.
Jones Center, Park West Rec Center.
Great.
Things like that. So
super. Because it would make sense at the end of the day, while you're watching your kids play ball, you got your car charging. I mean, it just makes sense.
Yeah.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate it. Other questions from panel?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I noticed we have a section on street lighting.
Okay.
And street lighting is something that I am interested in from a professional standpoint because of the safety issues on the roads. How do we determine the billing for street lighting?
Good question.
For ones that are not working.
Yep. So that's it's a two-part, I think, answer. So one of the things that we identified, that staff identified during our pre-meeting, was to share the geographical information system data to make sure that it lined up with the billing system. So we believe it's accurate, but we gather the data. There's no reason why we shouldn't inventory it and do a check. So that's in process, just to ensure that whatever light is there, that light is built properly, and it's also represented spatially on our maps and the town's maps. So that's in process, just to do a check. It's probably a decade ago, we did an inventory for every municipality. But I think the data's, I would describe it as it could be stale. So that's essentially just a process on our part to go back through. I think the other thing, that the second part of that answer, is that all the, as we switch out to what I would describe as the most current technology, which is the LED technology, then those systems, we use an existing communication system to begin to provide notice to the company when a light's not functioning properly. So those are generally coupled with the LED system. And that system then allows us to know, because then under old technology, under the old lighting system, the light would be out, and the only way we would know is we would get notice, or we would ride by, and we would identify it. So it's an automated, it uses the existing infrastructure that now we put in terms of communication. And so that's an ongoing process. I don't know if most people don't know this, but actually I think maybe 2013 or 2014, Mount Pleasant got the original LED lights. And most of the village, Old Village and all that area, all those HID lights were replaced with LED with the federal grant. So you're the earliest adopters of LED technology. And that's the technology that likely becomes, even on the decorative lighting, that becomes the technology that becomes prevalent just because of the phase out. It's more efficient, uses less energy, produces the same amount of light, but they'll all have that communication system, Councilman Chapman, that would give us the ability to know at the time the light's out, whether it's dim, whether it's not producing the lumens, all that's a function of that system.
So you get actually a readback somewhere in your system.
As we change out to LED, Eric can correct me but I think our folks are actually looking at some additional changeouts on some of that Highway 17 and some of those other corridor areas. And those, if they change out to LED, they would also have the remote intelligence to get signalization, so we'll know.
That's what I was most concerned about, 17. And so you, rather than having somebody ride the road, you have that information coming back to you.
When we change it out to LED.
That's great.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you.
Yeah. Yep.
Any others? Thank you, Danny. I appreciate it. I assume you need a motion.
Yes, sir. And the plan is that this will need to be in ordinance form, and we are prepared to bring it to council next Tuesday if that's what the committee wishes.
All right. Do we have a motion from the committee?
Move to recommend to council that we adopt the ordinance that has been presented to us by staff.
Have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The motion is approved. So we'll be sending that to council at our next Tuesday meeting.
Yes, sir. The next item, Mayor, is updates on 4 pending litigation items.
Yes.
This committee and council were sent a confidential memorandum. A couple options here. We can go into executive session for questions. This can be pushed forward to council next week, or I guess there's always the not address at all option.
What is there a motion to go into executive session on
that? Going to council one way or the other. I would prefer just to do it then.
Do it in executive session.
And there is only one item that would meet that specific request.
Right.
You know, really a decision that we're looking for from council. The other 3 are updates.
Okay.
Which I trust may have been sufficiently accomplished through the memorandum.
So we can do that in our executive session meeting next Tuesday.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
So we will move on. Then there's no post-executive session. Item 7 is adjourned. Thank you.
All right. Moving right on.